The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. A little later on the show, Frank LaBeouf and Craig Burley will be here to reflect on that thrilling game at Old Trafford, which ended 0-0 between Manchester United and Manchester City. Also, Yanar Fjortoff joining us to reflect on a humiliating defeat for Borussia Dortmund. We start, though, in La Liga, the Madrid derby. Real Madrid taking on Atleti, and it'd be Zinedine Zidane's side that would take all 3 points with a 2-0 victory over an Atleti side, let's not forget, who hadn't lost a game going into this clash domestically all season. Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol with us. Ali, we've been nothing but negative about Real Madrid all season. Where on earth did this come from?
Well, I do not know. The truth of the matter is that if you look at the balance of what Real Madrid have been this year, it's very up and down and more down than up. And so I guess what you can hang on to is the idea that they went to Sevilla, got a result there, then play against Mönchengladbach, were far better than Mönchengladbach, and maybe that created some confidence within the group. But as much as I would like to talk about Real Madrid and how good they were today, and I did think that they were excellent, especially through the midfield, Casemiro, Modric, and Cruz, they were excellent. They controlled the pace of the game. This, to me, lays right on the hands and at the lap of Diego Pablo Simeone, who, when we were previewing the match yesterday, I said my only concern is that Simeone will be conservative. And rather than attack Real Madrid, will go back to the things that he feels most comfortable with, and that is being defensive. And what did we see today? Atletico Madrid with a 7-game winning streak, with only having given up 2 goals in La Liga, first in the league. What did they do? Defensive. Back three that really became a back five. You push Gianni Ferreira Carrasco to defend as a wing back down the left-hand side. So whenever they did get possession of the ball, there was no outlet down the left-hand side. You push Llorente into a central position where this is a guy that thrives with space and speed. And what you found was that since you were getting outplayed through the midfield, and whenever you regained that possession, there were no outlets, Real Madrid parked themselves in the attacking half, created chance after chance after chance, opportunity, corner kick here and there and everywhere. And what you have is Real Madrid winning, deservedly so, 2-0, and it wasn't even that close.
Why don't Real Madrid do this more often, Stevie?
I think I'll answer the same as Mr. Moreno. I've no idea, because it was embarrassing, actually, at half-time. It was embarrassing. And I mean, you could see that Simeone was embarrassed as well, because he made 3 changes at half-time. That tells you the coach is not a happy camper. But you have to question his preparation, because generally when you play with a back three, that means that you flood the middle with five. That means that you should be having at least 50-50 of the ball, if not control, because numerically you should have more men. But as Ali said, they ended up with five at the back. So it was all kind of the upside down. It makes no sense on either side. It makes no sense that Atletico Madrid, even going defensive, there was no spitting and fighting and chasing and kicking. I mean, that didn't happen to the second half. But Real Madrid were fantastic. You know, that midfield three that you talked about with Cruz and Modric and Casemiro, were just the three of them as a unit at their best. And it's unfortunate that Madrid didn't score more goals.
They were exceptional at midfield today, Ali. And I go back to my point, why don't they do that more often?
Well, I think at times what you find from Real Madrid is that they just seem to rise to the moment. And when we have, this is not new for Real Madrid and a Zinedine Zidane Real Madrid team. When it feels like it's slipping away, when it feels like, you know what, it's not quite there, this team some changes need to happen. Maybe Zidane's job is in jeopardy. Maybe we ought to rotate players to the midfield. Maybe there are better options for Zinedine Zidane. What you find from them is, all of a sudden, they get one result, and they get another result, and they get another result. And it's what we have seen now, three results in a row in which you may have considered that Real Madrid may have been in trouble. If they had lost today, people would have said, you know what, this may be over. Well, no, Real Madrid doesn't lose this sort of game. And that's the difference, by the way, between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. Real Madrid, this sort of games, they seem to win most of them. Whereas Atletico Madrid, here they had an opportunity to really make a statement for themselves, for everybody. You know what? We are here to win this. And what did they do? They took a step back.
Dan, there's absolutely no doubt that the three in the middle of the park, age is a factor in this. Because when you hit 30 and get further and further into 30s, for some reason, you'll turn up thinking you're 100% and then you can't get around the field. It just happens to every single player. When you get older, you lose a yard and then the next day you play a game and then you feel great and then you're okay. So there's no question that Zidane has to do something as far as the middle of the park's concerned, because he can't keep playing those three, because Father Time's catching up with them. And yes, at the best, they can show you how good they were and still can be, like we saw today. But unfortunately, Father Time catches up with you, and that's why you go through games where you wonder why they're not dominating, particularly when those three are playing.
So Real Madrid closing the gap to 3 points, Ali. Who's more likely to win La Liga?
Between these two teams? Oh, boy. I mean, I was flying with Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
I was all about Atletico Madrid.
We crowned them
and
champions.
Then today I saw something today that I didn't like whatsoever. And that is, in a moment where you need to really kind of stick your chest out there and say, yeah, you know what? We are here to win this thing. What we saw is it's a team without a fight. Which is so unlike Atletico Madrid. It's the one thing that you knew, or at least you thought you were going to get today, that there was no way that this team was going to look like Mönchengladbach look in the middle of the week, because Atletico Madrid was going to fight. Well, they didn't even do that. And as for Simeone, one last point on him. The game is 1-0. You've been dominated. You really haven't had an opportunity on goal, and yet still 1-0. If that opportunity is going to come through somebody, you know what? It may just be Joao Felix. And what does he do? He takes his best attacking player off the field 60 minutes in. I don't understand. To me, Simeone made so many wrong decisions in this game. And as Stevie alluded to it, he himself admitted to making those wrong decisions by making three substitutions at halftime. Simeone had a nightmare today.
Did you answer my question, Ali?
I did not. I did not, Dan. And I'm going to say Real Madrid.
Wow. Wow. What do you think, Stevie?
You got to go with Real Madrid. You have to. You know what? The chance Lamar had at 1-0 kind of summed up Atletico Madrid. It was the only chance, and it was a fantastic chance. But the way he took it summed them up. It was a scared effort with no conviction in it whatsoever. And that probably just summed up that team today.
Stevie, stay with us. Ali, thank you very much. Let's just confirm then how things stand after that result. Real Madrid 3 points off Atleti at the top. Barcelona, of course, in action on Sunday.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, in the Premier League, the big game was at Old Trafford. Manchester United against Manchester City, easily forgotten as it finished 0-0. Frank Leboeuf and Craig Burley joins us to discuss this one. Craig, oh, what a game.
Oh, it was mind-numbing, wasn't it? It's like at one point in the second half, if you'd have said it was a practice match pre-season, you could have got away with it. I mean, honestly, Look, one was a surprise that Pogba started. He actually defended pretty well, and I think that was the big concern. United, there was no real surprises. But I was disappointed with City. You know, and although they dominated the bulk of the game, you could have taken that front three off. I mean, really so lightweight up front. You know, Mahrez, poor touch for the big chance he had in the first half. Raheem Sterling, some poor touches in good areas. And they really missed some heavy hitting in that final third. And, you know, I wasn't disappointed with United because I think kind of that's where they are, and they had to make sure they got some sort of result after midweek. But I was disappointed with City. I mean, I know that's six clean sheets in a row, and that's certainly solving one issue at the moment, but they're certainly a lot more lightweight and have lost a spring in their step going forward compared to the last couple of seasons.
What did you make of it, Frank?
Well, I was, I was disappointed, but I think I found the two teams pretty tired. And I wonder, you know, when we see and we hear coaches, you know, being very critical about the fact that you only have three substitution per game. When I see only one during that game from especially Guardiola, who complained a lot about that and made no substitution against Fulham the day before. And we know that they will have a game midweek again, I think on Tuesday for Manchester City. I wonder why they complain about that if they don't do it at least three times. Then after saying that, we talk about a derby. A derby is full of rivalry. I don't see that anymore. It's like, you know, the players, they appreciate each other. I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but when someone goes on the floor, the other one goes, say, oh, I'm sorry, how are you doing? Go up, help him to go up. You know, it's everything very nice where I had my time. Of course, we didn't see that. On top of it, you know, for a good derby, you need a good atmosphere. And with an empty stand, you know, it's you lose almost everything, which makes a derby being very interesting. And when and we know that at Old Trafford you have 75,000 people, we can go there, and you have nobody. No wonder where, you know, maybe a little bit of craziness don't show up, because you cannot have. And on top of it, as I said before, you know, two teams pretty much tired. No wonder when we see what we saw.
Stevie, this isn't the first time we've seen this season big teams play out rather forgettable matches. Is the fact, as Frank said, there's a lack of crowd there, does that kind of give them the excuse to kind of not play for the win but make sure they don't lose?
100%. I think the fact there's no crowd there just completely affects the derby. You know, it affects every Premier League game, but most of all, it definitely affects the derby. And the Man City, Man United derby. I don't know if you've ever been at one, Dan, but the atmosphere is absolutely fantastic. So I think absolutely they're missing that. And I guess I'm going to be the positive one. Look, we're always complaining, and certainly I am, about teams not being able to defend. Well, both sides today defended great. As Craig said, what, six in a row without losing a goal for City. This is the team that we completely hammered, and we hammered Guardiola as well, that he couldn't teach his defence how to defend. And so they did that today, and Man United as well. You know, yes, Mahrez should have probably scored, but guess what? De Gea is there to defend. And Harry Maguire had a couple of blocks, one on De Bruyne and one on Sterling. And that's good defending. So the positive for both sides is that defensively, they were pretty strong.
Let's pick up that point that Frank made, Craig. Only one substitution, Ferran Torres, coming on. In a match where you say it clearly wasn't clicking in the final third, you got Phil Foden on the sidelines, a big match, he doesn't feature. You kind of wonder, what's Pep's thinking going into these sort of matches?
I'm not sure. I mean, he had Bernardo Silva on the bench as well. Ferran Torres did come on. You know, Phil Foden could have come on. He could, as I say, he could have changed that front line, the front three, to try and, you know, shuffle things up. Because clearly his mindset coming in was, look, we got stung at Tottenham, we got stung twice against United in the last two games, so I'm going to play two defensive midfielders in Fernandinho and Rodri. And they did a very good job in there. But going forward, they're just lacking that little bit of edge. And I don't understand why they don't make these changes when there's so many games coming thick and fast. To take somebody off, particularly in a game where you're not getting a lot from your front line, to shuffle up that pack a little bit and give guys maybe 20 minutes rest at the end of a game and then give somebody else 20, 25 minutes or even half an hour to try and get some match fitness for upcoming games and also change the game. Because the finishing was poor, we saw, and once again, we saw it even from the likes of Kevin De Bruyne. And I just don't understand. Maybe I heard people talking about data and all this sort of nonsense. Look, I don't understand if you're making an argument about more substitutes in this period and then in a big derby game when it was clear guys were tired, that you're only making one change. And not only from a standpoint of fitness, but from a standpoint of trying to change the game and go and win it, because clearly City in the second half were bossing the majority of the game, but they needed a little spark in that final third and didn't quite get it.
I think that's the key, Craig. You know, when you don't make changes, it smacks of being happy with what you've got. I can remember doing it myself. I'm thinking, if I make changes, somebody's not quite warmed up, somebody's not ready, it might affect what's going on. I'm just going to actually take what I've got. I think absolutely the fact that they didn't make wholesale changes tells you that, you know what, if we get a draw out of this, then that's OK. And if we win it, then, all right, we'll take the bonus.
The other interesting thing, Dan, was the omission of Aymeric Laporte for John Stones, who has had some game time recently. And Guardiola touched on it in his press conference. It's not just been his form and his fitness, but he's had other issues outside of football to deal with. So there's been some mental capacity of a problem for him there. And that's, you know, who knows how much that's affected him. But clearly he's a player that Guardiola likes when fully fit and his mind's on the game. And that was an interesting call. And as Stevie said, both teams did defend well. And he's searching for a partnership with Ruben Dias, who looks like he's going to play most of the games. And it might not be Laporte, as we thought, and it could be John Stones. And they actually defended pretty well. And you know, that's something for City to build on, because it has been their Achilles heel. But there's no doubt, and the stats will back it up, they're lacking the goals and the threat that they were of last year. And I know Aguero's been out, and that's been a big miss for them, but they are lacking it in other areas as well. It's all very well smacking Burnley for five and then rolling over Fulham at home, but in the bigger games, they've lacked that little bit of cutting edge.
Finally, Frank, we spent most of the week saying there was no way that Paul Pogba was going to start this game. He did start. How would you assess him overall?
He had a serious game, nothing to complain about, even being involved in defending actions. It wasn't a fantastic game, but like nobody had today. I think he was well organized. He did what he had to do to help his team to get the draw. I think there is nothing to complain about Manchester United, as Craig said. They did the job. They knew that if they would go forward, they would be punished by Manchester City. They were very well organized and very strong defensively. And Paul Pogba was one of them. So, that was a good option from Ole. He was helped by McTominay and by Fred as well. He was more free on the left side. So it's a good option. He was at his place, like he played when he was playing for Juventus before, where he was more free than the other players. And it seems to suit him and suit the team too.
Meanwhile, Chelsea missed out on the opportunity to go top of the table. They lost 1-0 at Goodison Park against Everton. Sigurdsson penalty, the difference between the two sides. What happened to Chelsea today, Craig?
Well, I think Everton did a great job at, you know, one defending and two making it a scrappy game and then hitting on the counter-attack. And I didn't think Chelsea were very good. They had lots and lots and lots of possession. You know, probably their best outlet for most of the game, particularly in the first half, was Reece James. Once again, I think, you know, the goals have dried up a little bit for Timo Werner. There was no space for him to run into. You know, Havertz is a young man, but, you know, he's still yet to show the Havertz that we knew and we saw at Leverkusen. And, you know, it was Lefty and N'Golo Kanté at times to try and drive this team forward. And that's a big thing to ask. So, and the two centre-halves really get in a battle with Olivier Giroud, and he never got any freedom. You know, two big strapping centre-halves for Everton who wanted to have a fight. And, you know, Chelsea just couldn't find a way. There was a couple of moments where they hit the post a couple of times, or Pickford made a great save in the first half, and there was the Mason Mount free kick in the second half. But I got the feeling, you know, Chelsea could still be playing now and we'd still be talking about a zero scoreline for them. So, yeah, could have went top, rested players in midweek as well for this game, but Frank Lampard just did not get the performance that he wanted.
Where was the spark today, Frank?
I think Chelsea did well in the middle of the park in terms of a possession of the ball, but they were bad defensively, and we saw that penalty that Mendy conceded. But I think I will put Thiago Silva guilty for the penalty as well, because he didn't attack the ball. Then he thought he was hesitating. He thought that Mendy will go out, which he did, but too late. And of course, offensively, in the last pass or the one before the last, they weren't very accurate. I was very, in a way, upset with the way Chelsea played, because it reminded me the way we were playing with Chelsea at the time I was playing for Chelsea, where we didn't know the fighting spirit. And they faced today a fantastic Everton fighting spirit, like from yesterday, where they knew they are maybe technically they weren't as good as Chelsea, but they had the fighting spirit, they had the tactic from an Italian expert, and they did everything they had to do to avoid any kind of problems. Of course, Chelsea hit the bar in the post twice, but at the end of the day, like Craig said, I think they don't deserve to win, Chelsea, and they could have played 2 hours without scoring a goal. Everton did everything to avoid a problem with Chelsea, and they did very, very well. So hard up for them, because you have to say that. It's not only Chelsea who played badly, I would say, overall, it's also Everton who did everything to make sure that Chelsea wouldn't have a good game.
And Craig, this is an Everton side, let's not forget, who only won 1 in 7 coming into this clash. As a supporter of Everton, I'd be so frustrated to see this sort of effort from the players and this sort of result. It's kind of like, here's what you could have won.
Yeah, he's been changing the shape at the back. I think he's played with a back three quite a few times recently, and he went back to the two centre-halves and Holgate at right back. He's got no Dini at left back, so young Godfrey that played there, he's very, very quick and did a good job. But yeah, I mean, as Frank said, look, they knew they're not going to outpossess this Chelsea side, so they didn't, for the most part, they denied the space to run in behind. They got Decore and Allen back in, who grafted. They had Sigurdsson in there, tried to go on the counter-attack. We know Calvert-Lewin, how quick Calvert-Lewin is and how good he is in the air. So they could always hit that ball over the top, which they did on a couple of occasions. Chelsea got away with it second half with the second penalty that was just offside. But it just, yeah, I mean, they couldn't call on, and it was clear today, you know, no Zajec, couldn't call on Pulisic, couldn't call on Hudson-Odoi. And so when he wanted to make those changes, and that was the reason Havertz played further forward on that right-hand side in the wide position, a position we've seen him play before, Dan, at Chelsea, but not be very successful at it. But yet his options were limited. It was only a couple of weeks ago, I don't think he had one injured player, and when he had to go to the bench and look for somebody that could change the game, he didn't really have it. So yeah, Everton deserved it. Stuck at their task, big and strong, very well organised, and they got a tune today where Chelsea didn't.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. A lot more from Frank, Stevie and Craig on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Meanwhile, no doubt about it, the big story in the Bundesliga today, Stuttgart going to Dortmund and beating them, thrashing them by 5-1. Janar Fjortoff joins us. Jan, what was really striking, I thought, in this game, after Gio Reyna equalised, you thought, right, Dortmund will get themselves back into it. But that 10-minute period in the second half when they conceded 3 goals, they were just embarrassing.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. And we say they are the title challenger. And yes, Reiner did a fantastic goal. I love that goal. For me, that is art, what he did there with his left and his right foot, what he did there. But the way Dortmund are playing at the moment, this is the third game in a row they're losing at home. They should be so happy that the yellow wall is not there, because like Favre is like going into every wall there is around at the moment. The problem with Dortmund is that they just have a plan A. The plan B has always been Erling Haaland. Because when Stuttgart, at the beginning of the game, the high pressing was excellent. So what have they done in the future? In the past, they just lumped the ball up over the back four of Stuttgart, and Erling Haaland has done something with the ball. They don't have that anymore, and they explored all over the pitch. They are too slow at the back, and they're winning 5-1, and it was deserved win from Stuttgart. Respect to Stuttgart.
Jan, how many lives has Lucien Favre got left?
Not a lot, because he's been criticized for being a manager who doesn't have the ability to win trophies. I mean, football is like a jungle. You come in there, they see what you got, and he doesn't have it. You could be a good coach, but they will ask you how many titles you have at the moment. I think he should be happy that the 81,000 are not allowed to go into that stadium. Imagine that atmosphere in Signal Iduna Park if, like, they're now losing 3 games in a row, Bayern, Cologne, and now Stuttgart. So I can't see him. I think what can save him is there is not an available candidate, if there is someone who can take them out till the season, because this is embarrassing. And it's after today. I mean, there was a lot of players you can take, and some of the young kids as well. Young Bellingham had a terrible game. He lost the ball all the time. But you can't start criticizing the young kids. There is someone that's always steering, and it's always someone who'll be in charge and will have to immediately go then. And Favre is, of course, the easiest target.
What's happened to Jadon Sancho, Jan?
I think Jadon Sancho started off the season very bad, which is normal. There was a unbelievable offer for him. He was the most wanted player in the whole world. Manchester United trying to get him. The fans was getting on to him. So he started off the season bad. He doesn't look that he have any self-confidence at all. I don't think he's trying to be arrogant. I don't think there's something wrong with his attitude. I think he's just a 20-year-old who couldn't cope with that pressure. And into this season, you've seen, then it's hard to get into your old style being in there. Maybe a team that you thought in the summer you would leave.
You talked about Gio Reyna's goal, but he was in fact eclipsed by another American, Pellegrino Matarazzo, whom not many would know too much about, Jan.
Unbelievable. And I love his story, because he's one of those coaches around. I knew him a bit, but I have to admit I wasn't sure that he was American, because he was my mate is the head of sport at Hoffenheim. And he came from Hoffenheim, and suddenly he came to Stuttgart. Stuttgart, at the moment, they're working quite good. They've got Hitzelberger, who is there as the head of sports. They've got Sven Mitzlat, if I say that right, the scout who's been scouting good players over the years. And they look for that kind of coach. And here we go. The Columbia University and all the rest of the university in America just have to be proud of him. Winning 5-1 at Signal Iduna Park is an unbelievable performance. And I think that we are all football mad, and we always look at the live updates around Europe on a Saturday. I mean, this is the one this weekend.
Yeah, the one solace for Borussia Dortmund is the fact that Bayern Munich would drop points as well. Then he could only manage a 1-1 draw against Union Berlin. Archie Rintat caught up with Jerome Boateng after the game.
Jerome Boateng, Union 1, Bayern 1. After that performance, would you say it's fair to say that Bayern got lucky here today?
I would say at the end was both team had the chance to win. I wouldn't say we are lucky because we had also a lot of chances. Them two at the end, it was an open game, but we are not happy with the result, of course.
It feels weird to see Bayern being so vulnerable right now. The fifth Bundesliga game in a row that you've gone 1-0 down. Is the team too tired to play the kind of football that Hansi Flick wants the team to play right now?
No, there are no excuses. We know we play every 3 days, we got injured players, but we keep on going. You can't play every 3 days a perfect game. It also shows our quality that we come back from a 1-0 behind. Of course, we are not happy, but at the end, it's a team sport. We have to work on that, and we're still on top, so I don't want to be too negative, but of course, we are not happy today.
Two final things. Robert Lewandowski nominated for the best FIFA Men's Player of the Year alongside Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. You've got to be expecting him to win that, though, given the season and the year he's played this year, surely.
Yeah, I think there's no other choice. If a player, individual, plays like this, scores like this, win everything, who else should win then?
Back-to-back Bundesliga draws then, Jan, for Bayern.
Yes, and we could see, I mean, the level that Bayern are playing all the time is so impressive, and they've always got players to put on, and you always got a Lewandowski or a Müller who kind of sort it for them. But you've seen lately that they're getting a bit more tired, which is fair enough. I mean, they have played the most games of them all. Today against Union Berlin, they played, remember, Union Berlin played without Max Kruse, yeah. Who, if he played today, Union Berlin would probably win 3-4-1, because there were times today, as we all do, we watch a lot of games at the same time, and there were times today I couldn't remember that Bayern were not in red, because they had a lot of chances, not only Prömel's goal, they had a lot of chances in Union Berlin. Of course, Lewandowski making, I think it was 175th goal in 200 games for Bayern, and he's always there. But that was not the best of course, performance. But all respect to Union Berlin, I thought they would go down this season without their crowded hometown crowd stadium. And they did well again. And we have to give a bit of respect to the opponents as well.
Elsewhere, we saw Leipzig go top of the table briefly after a victory against Werder Bremen. What impressed me about this performance is that after all the ecstasy against Manchester United, they got the job done early in this game.
They did it early. What a penalty. Penalty was a clear penalty. It was a stupid penalty for Werder Bremen, but it was a clear penalty. And then the goal of Olmo. I mean, there's always a midfielder by Leipzig, maybe the big crowd, football crowd in the world doesn't know. But Olmo, great player. And a good play with Paulsen, who kind of hick-hacked it. It's probably not an English word, I'm still using it. And it was 2-0. And the rest of the game was for them just to get home, get the 3 points, say that this was a great week. They outplayed Manchester United. They got their revenge of Manchester United. Now 3 points. They're up there, 24 points. Imagine the two teams are 5 points ahead of Dortmund. Well, it's not easy to be Favre at the moment.
No, not at all, especially with Bayer Leverkusen as well in action on Sunday. They have the chance to go top of the table. And then, of course, we have got midweek matches coming up in the Bundesliga as well. Jan Arfjordtsov, as always, thank you very much for your time. There it is then, as Jan mentioned, Borussia Dortmund fifth in the table, 5 points adrift. Bayern Munich and Leipzig. Bayer Leverkusen, as I said, have the chance to go top. They're in action tomorrow. That game, of course, live on ESPN+. Plus, they host Hoffenheim. Preceding that, it's Augsburg against Schalke. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Don't forget, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+, Plus, a special build-up to the Milan game. Plus, we're with you post-game live for ESPN FC. But for now, Extra Time is next with Frank, Stevie and Craig. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. What a lineup we got for you. Craig Burley, Frank LaBeouf, Stevie Nichols. Stevie, a belated happy birthday to you, mate. How did you celebrate?
I was babysitting. I had my granddaughter all day. So. That was it.
Happy birthday, by the way. Happy
got to bed, got to sleep. Got to sleep, had a couple of beers, had my dinner, went to bed.
And what was for dinner, Stephen?
I actually had a double quarter pounder.
What a treat!
Double quarter pounder.
Happy birthday, wow. With fries as well, Stevie? Fries and a Coke?
Did you have a cake?
No, beans.
No.
Some Heinz beans.
And a cake?
I had the cake earlier on when the kids were just finished their dinner.
So how do you eat the burger with beans?
I blew the candles out.
Do you dunk the burger in the beans?
Of course you do.
Right, okay, of course you do.
This is a homemade burger, Dan, you've got to understand that.
Yeah. So it's an Eleanor special burger.
Yes.
Oh, I told you, it was at McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And then you brought it home and he ate up some beans.
Well, that's a new one.
I did I? Well, actually, it was a day old, I've got to be honest. I forgot, I got them, everybody had McDonald's yet the day before, and I forgot, and I had mince, broccoli, cauliflower, and I'd already made it, and then I remembered, so I just kept it for them.
For your birthday treat, lovely. Will Manchester City need to sign a number 9 in January to be contenders, Craig?
Well, I mean, they've managed okay in the last 2 or 3 years with carrying what they've got. I mean, it's clear, you know, obviously. I'm not Jesus' biggest fan. I mean, he does some good things at times, but I would prefer Aguero in there, and that could be a problem for them, depending on his fitness. But no, I don't think they'll try and... Well, there's talk about... All the talk is Erling Haaland, but they'll not be getting him in January, so that's not going to happen.
Craig, I think I put a curse on Gabriel Jesus, because I never thought that Aguero would play again this season, and I thought Gabriel Jesus would play. And I think when we predicted, you know, the top of the league and the top scorer, I think I put Gabriel Jesus as the top scorer. Did he score at least one goal this season or not?
I'm sure he must have done at some stage. But now we know who to blame. Yeah. Craig and Stevie, and in fact, Frank as well, because you've lived in all these places. Which country is more friendly to live in, Stevie, America or England? And which country between the two do you enjoy the most?
Easy, America.
America?
Listen, I'll give you a great example, right?
I was at McDonald's yesterday.
If you live in Britain, right? And you walk down the road and you have eye contact with somebody, they'll go, what are you looking at? Right? With a grill. And in America, you look at somebody and they'll go, hello, how's your day been? Just a little different, Dad.
Oh, nice and friendly. Craig, do you concur with that?
I would say so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Frank, which is a nicer place to live, England or America?
I will go with the guys, you know. In America, you have a certain spirit that I enjoy, you know. It's very positive. Where it's not only in England, it's also in France or in the ancient Europe, I would say, where, you know, everybody's suspicious about somebody looking at each other, you know, going around his house, you know. It's what it is. But I prefer the European culture overall, but the spirit of the Americans are very suitable to my spirit.
Craig, you were wrong that Pogba would only come in desperation off the bench. By the way, what would you say on his performance today?
Yeah, I was wrong. I didn't think he'd play, which is generally what he has done, come off the bench in desperation. I thought he was one of United's better players, and without being exhilarating. But the big concern that I would have had was, you know, his defensive responsibilities, and that would have been the concern of Solskjaer, but actually he did a pretty good job defensively and was very switched on. So, yeah, no issues there. I was just a little bit surprised, like a lot of people, that he made the starting lineup today.
After we saw some funny altercations between Maguire and Sterling today, what was it like playing against international teammates in matches with your clubs? Frank?
It's never easy, especially when you're a defender and you will have to react to what the striker will offer to you. And when you play against Henry or you play against Anelka, or Zidane or Dugarry, you know, it's never easy. So you will have to kick them at some point, but they won't be happy, so they can start an argument. Well, you have to know the limits and the deadline where you have to make sure that everything goes on. I think between Maguire and Sterling, it was just chit-chatting, you know, and it wasn't that bad. They were laughing at some point. I saw Sterling having a smile. And it can happen at some point. You know, we are competitors. You don't want to be humiliated by the striker, and you want to be respected. So you have to make the point at some point.
Craig, what was it like going against your international teammates?
Never gave it a thought, mate. I mean, play against quite a few of them in England, and then obviously in Scotland, playing against Rangers, you know, against the likes of Goram Goff, Stuart McCall, Ali McCoist, and others. No, it's you've got a job to do, and listen, kick lumps out of each other, and let's have a beer in the bar after it, because at the end of the day, you know, you're employed by that club and playing in front of your supporters to do a job, not give a half-hearted tackle on a teammate because you might be meeting up with them on a Tuesday or Wednesday for international duty. So it just doesn't work that way.
Stephen?
I always looked upon it as almost like playing against your big brother or your wee brother or a family member. You know, you were desperate to beat them. I mean, you weren't going to kill them, but if they needed a clip, then you would. Then you would. And then, as Craig said, afterwards, you'd have a laugh and a joke. So, yeah, that's kind of how I always looked at it.
Final question. Craig, yesterday you mentioned that your coach offered shots of liquor before the match. How did your team perform during the game?
I can't remember.
Because of all the liquor you can't remember?
Oh, that's so long ago.
That's old school.
Was before even Frank got to Chelsea, that was. So, yeah, I can't remember. I presume with who was manager at the time, the results results would not have been very favourable, put it that way.
Stephen, were you ever offered liquor before a game?
I remember the first time I was in the Liverpool dressing room for a game.
Wow.
And Phil Neal walked over to the bag, took out a wee bottle of whiskey and went like that, woof, just a quick thing. I was like, ah, what's he doing? But I guess his era and before used to do it just before the game to get you burning inside and get you going. I think that was the reason behind it. But yeah, I saw Phil Neal doing it a couple of times. He was the only one though.
Oh, wow. Heck. All right, boys, that is it. Thank you very much. Another cold Big Mac that you found in the fridge for dinner tonight, Stimmy?
Yep.
No. I'm having lamb this evening, actually.
Oh, wow. Oh.
With mince.
Very good.
Well, that's because my grandson's here. He likes lamb, so that's why I've got to eat lamb.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. ESPN.
Why you mix it up, Dan, you know?
Yeah, I know. You connoisseur, Stevie. What a cultured palate. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us then. Until then, goodbye.